Support for this broadcast of Two Rivers 30 Minutes comes in part from a grant from Striffler's Family Funeral Homes.
From TubeCityOnline.com, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes, a weekly series of interviews with people making news around the McKeesport area. Produced by Tube City Community Media Incorporated, a nonprofit corporation. I'm Jason Toger, the executive director. On this show, we talk one-on-one with elected officials, community leaders, and others who are trying to make a difference in the Monongahela area. And we also take your questions and comments on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.
Bob Paycheck is a former newspaper reporter who now writes for a variety of online websites. He is a songwriter. He is a poet. He is a self-published author whose most recent chapbook of poetry is called Panda Magic. You can get it at White Whale and at other bookstores around the city. Good morning, Bob.
Morning. Thank you for having me.
Your passion is telling stories, especially about the Mon Valley area and about the Pittsburgh area. I believe you're in Forest Hills now.
Yes, sir.
Tell me a little bit about growing up. Where was home for you?
East McKeesport.
Okay.
I was born in McKeesport Hospital. I grew up in East McKeesport. I went to East Allegheny. Just normal small town stuff, you know, in the 90s, you know, before the internet, before all I wanted to do is be outside, away from the house. Thank God my parents were like, get out. We don't want to see you.
Yeah, that mine too. When did you decide that you wanted to be a writer?
Well, you know, when I got to Pitt, first I went to Duquesne, and mm-hmm. then I had those intro to writing classes, mm-hmm. and it was a disaster. I almost ended up failing out of Duquesne because it was just overwhelming. The English classes were the only classes that I could get a handle on it, even though it felt like the world was collapsing around me. And I had a professor, his name was Mr. Bintrim. I think he's still there.
Okay.
He was actually a TA at the time, and we were assigned poems to do. And I took the one that had the least number of lines, called The Death of the Ball Turret Gunner by Randall Jarrell. It's a World War mm-hmm. II poem, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I think it goes, from my mother's sleep, I fell into the state and hunched in its belly till my wet fur froze. 6 miles from earth, loose from this dream of life, I woke the black flak and nightmare fighters. When I died, they washed my body out of the turret with a hose. And that just grabbed me.
That's amazing to me, though. You really had not had much exposure to poetry until you get to college.
Very little, very little.
Yeah.
Maybe some E.E. Cummings.
Sure.
Like his famous poem, The Plums.
Mm-hmm.
But not much beyond that. And to be honest, like not a very good reader. I always liked to read, but it was a lot of Stephen King stuff.
Sure.
I always loved music. I gravitated toward that. I thought I was going to be a music major, but it just turned out I played trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
It turned out I just wasn't plainly good enough, which was, you know, that's a very competitive world there. And so I ended up at Pitt, got into some intro classes. From Pitt, I got some encouragement. The encouragement, realizing that, hey, you know, people are kind of liking what I'm doing, even though I have no clue what I was doing. I found some writers back then, like Phil Levine,
mm-hmm.
Who's a working class poet, considered a working class poet from Detroit. He's not around anymore. I gravitated to those type of writers. Rita Dove, who wrote about her growing up in Akron. Jim Daniels, former mm-hmm. CMU poet.
Yep.
He was an inspiration to me, and he encouraged me, you know, later. Couple years later.
Did you study with Jerry Stern then too?
No, I didn't study with Jerry Stern, but
okay.
I got to meet him a few times.
Okay.
Yeah, Jerry Stern. He's another Pittsburgher.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerry Costanza,
yeah.
Another CMU press guy. And those guys, you know, they spoke to me. But as far as doing it, I'm terrible at math. I'm terrible at science. I didn't really know what I was doing in college. I found some community there. I got to jump into some advanced classes when I was an undergrad. And I just got good feedback. I liked the people who were doing it. I made some good friends. And before I know it, I had a degree in creative writing.
Bob Paycheck is our guest this morning. His website is BobPaycheck, just like it sounds, .com. Mm-hmm. If you are interested in buying any of his chapbooks, you can find him on Facebook or LinkedIn, or go to his website, which is currently under construction, as everyone's website mm-hmm. is constantly. Most recent book, Panda Magic, is at White Whale. You have brought your guitar with you. You have moved from writing poetry to into songwriting. Was wondering if you wanted to play something for us.
I'd like to try.
What would you like to play for us?
It is called "I Wish I Was Smarter."
I do too. Bob Paycheck is our guest this morning.
Oopsie, I messed it up already. I burned all my skin drinking whiskey and gin when gas was a dollar and I was taller. Had an Oldsmobile, a terrible deal, a fine example of only looks could kill. I rode through these streets like a cow in the water. Wish I was smarter, coulda worked harder. Oh, wish I was smarter, coulda worked harder. Like the man in the mansion, I poisoned the water. If only I could set myself away on an island in a river. Whoa, these metaphors are ruining me, me and my liver. I might be sick or I might be something else. Might be sick or I might be something else. Well, my life exists in a vibrating tumble. Wish I was humble when I bumble. My body's aflame with the real kind of shame for the time I waste again and again. I rode through these streets like a cow in the water. Wish I was smarter, coulda worked harder. Oh, wish I was smarter, coulda worked harder. Like a man in a mansion, I poisoned the water. Only I could set myself away on an island in a river. Whoa, these metaphors are ruining me, me and my liver. Might be sick or I might be something else. Might be sick or I might be something else. Might be sick or I might be something else. I might be sick.
I wish I was smarter. That's Bob Paycheck. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to ask you that famous question that every writer has been asked a million times since the very first person sat down and started to write. Where do you get your ideas from? And we probably won't have any better of an answer than anybody else has. Bob Paycheck is our guest this morning. You're listening to Two Rivers 30 Minutes on Radio 81 WEDO, 1550 and 101.1 WZUM, the Pittsburgh Jazz Channel, and Tube City Online Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Support for this broadcast comes from the City of McKeesport Fair Housing Office. Fair housing is your right, and the Fair Housing Act prohibits discrimination in housing because of race, color, national origin, religion, sex, gender identity, sexual orientation, family status, or disability. That includes renting or buying a home, getting a mortgage, seeking housing assistance, or engaging in other housing-related activities. For more information about Fair Housing Act protections in the City of McKeesport, call 412-675-5020, extension 635.
Bob Paycheck is our guest this morning. You can find him at bobpaycheck.com. He is an author. He is a longtime reporter. He is a poet and songwriter. You can find his work in a number of collections, one of which is called Trolley Man, and that is now in its second printing. That is from 2015. I believe that's available at Caliban and White Whale. Panda Magic is his newest one. That's available at White Whale. And a number of collections, including Good Noise, Poetry, Music, and Pittsburgh, and Poems for Jerry, a tribute to Gerald Stern. You know, I'm a reporter, and I can write nonfiction. I can write about something that I'm seeing, but to sit down with a blank page and come up with an idea is very difficult for me. I could never write fiction. I can never write poetry. I have tried. So I'll ask you that famous question that every writer gets. Bob, where do you get your ideas?
The short answer is I honestly wish I knew.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm very lucky in that the things, I'm very scatterbrained. I hear, like, when I hear rhythms, I'm automatically replacing the words. If I hear a song, the song's automatically rewritten in my head. Usually dirty, sexual.
Or, well, like, I got that from Mad Magazine. I can write, I can read, yeah, I can parody someone else's song.
The first time I ever thought of that I would love to see my stuff in print was in Mad Magazine.
Okay.
And I didn't know you could submit stuff until it was
too late.
Yeah, yeah, because I had some banger ideas when I was in high school for Mad, but I definitely missed the boat there, and that's one of my biggest literary regrets, if I'm honest. But
Sure.
But that's only one part of it. Like the original stuff, things do just come to me, and what you know, if it's any good or not, I have to put it down. If you know, I let a lot of things go because I'm on top of it. I'm a very lazy writer. It feels so much better when it just comes. But then you have to sit down.
Several writers have said, Douglas Adams might have been one of them, I hate writing. I love having written.
Yeah.
So I think that's a common thread.
It's not quite that at extreme, but deadlines save me a lot of times, because if there isn't a deadline, I'm going to let it whiz right by me too. And paid a price, and I've paid the price for that in the past. With creative stuff, I really like the songs and the poems. I do really like having it. It took me a while to get to the point where it almost was like, let go. You don't have to, you don't even have to do this. The letting go and the freeing of like that ambition, which I didn't have much to begin with anyway, but not having much ambition with this, just doing what comes natural, not worried about what people really think about it, has been, you know, allows me to be this, you know, a goofball on a page, and allows me to freely think about this stuff, because I truly don't care if it thrills me when people get a connection from this, and I'm very lucky that I have had opportunities to present my stuff over and over through readings around Pittsburgh, through here, through Logos Press, and things like that. But it, you know, as you know, Jason, a lot of it all comes down to the original idea could be the best idea in the world, but if you don't know how to revise, you don't take the time to figure it out on a page, if you don't take that time, then you're not going to be able to do anything. I've been at this for, you know, almost 30 years now, so I have my ways to do it after the original stuff comes. The songwriting, it comes a little easier.
Is that fairly recent? Bob Paycheck is our guest this morning, bobpaycheck.com, or you can find him, P-A-J-I-C-H is the spelling, if you want to reach out to him on LinkedIn or mm-hmm. Facebook. I think you said off the air that the songwriting has come fairly recent to you, the music part.
Well, I've been at it for quite a few years.
Okay.
And I played in rock and roll bands around Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. pond hockey, slug sweater, and I played drums, I played guitar, but with these folk songs and the stuff I'm doing, I didn't start really playing the guitar until I was like late 20s, mm-hmm. 30s, and I only know a couple chords. It's very, I call it ham fist. I'm a ham fist chunker. Eh, every once in a while, I luck into something that, one, I don't think was ever put this way. Two, it's a little, you know, it's interesting in my mind at least. And so I just go for it. I have fun with it. I play with music friends every week. It keeps me sane. It keeps me out of a psychiatrist's chair. You know, I love doing it. If people like it, they like it. I've never done a CD or I have tons of recordings at home, and I put stuff on my YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it, you know. And I've performed out before, but you know, performing like this is fairly new to me, and this is the first time I've done this.
Okay. Well, you're doing fine. I think Bob Paycheck is our guest this morning. You can find his work in a number of collections. Some of them are self-published, Panda Magic and Trolley Man. Others, Good Noise, Poems for Jerry. And there's one I'm missing, I think.
Little Beers.
Thank you. That was the one I was trying to remember. I think you were going to read a couple selections from Trolley Man. Is that?
I'd love to.
Okay.
This is the title poem, The Trolley Man. Uncle Ray owned the Trolley Man down in East Pittsburgh near Gate 3 of Westinghouse Electric. He also drove a train for more than 50 years because he liked to spend as much time as possible away from his wife. It was just one of those bars down in a valley leaning against each other in a tired row of 30. G.I. Joe's, Hotel Pahala, Smitty's, The Junction, Caesar's, which still hugs the corner of a desperate shopping center, a block away from a church where the shadow alcoholics kneel on the sidewalk and blow tiny puffs of smoke into the air like machine shops that produce parts for suicide revolvers. All those men who would grease their souls after work in those bars are either old, going, or gone. I've heard stories about how those guys managed by popping pills and guzzling booze over pickled eggs and pretzels while their wives readied for the kids for school or put on faces for their own opportunities, limited as their choice of lovers, until something mysterious happened and everything stopped working.
The poem is called Trolley Man, and our guest this morning is Bob Paycheck. That's the title from that collection of poems. That is so evocative of the Mon Valley and of the Pittsburgh area.
Oh, thank you.
I could almost smell and feel the place. What attracts you to those tableaus, those vignettes of life?
Just looking around this area, it's hard not to see, the kind of pain that has come from the past here. You look into people's faces, it's historical.
It's generational. That poem in particular is generational.
Yeah, it's. I think it's, just listening to my parents talk about it and all these folks talk about how Braddock used to be awesome, how McKeesport used to be great. And also how, the whole area was sort of abandoned over, a fairly short time. And people are still chugging at it. And you could see, like I said, the history in the faces. You could see it in the street corners, in the cracks of how everything is still neglected. We're still picking up the pieces here.
My question, after hearing a poem like that, and you're going to read a couple more for us, why wouldn't you want to tell that story?
Sure.
It's such a great story. It's such a great story.
It's right there for the picking. I mean, it's the same as taking how many, the photographers around here and the stuff that comes out of here is really, I don't know. I mean, it's where I'm from. It's in my blood, I guess. It's you write what you know.
Yeah.
I've driven through Turtle Creek a bazillion times. I rode my bike through Wilmerding forever.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fantastic poets and writers doing the same thing because it's their home. They want to celebrate it a bit.
You mentioned Ed Ochester, Jerry Stern. Some of the ones that you have published with, in fact, Christopher Collins, Toy Derricote,
oh, yeah.
Jan Beatty. It seems like Pittsburgh really punches above its weight when it comes to writing and it comes to really intensely personal stories.
That may be the case, and it probably is, but there's a lot of good stuff going around in every little town like mm-hmm. this, city like this. There's a lot of clubs and groups that work hard at it, like Jan Beatty's
yeah.
Mad Women in the Attic.
Uh-huh.
Chris Collins is actually, this is his press.
Mm-hmm.
So I've known Chris since the 90s in college. These are, these are my friends. And I don't know. I don't know the reason. I think I have ideas about it because it's generally a cheap city to live in. It's good for artists. It's getting worse now. Because everything,
the rent is going up, yeah, expenses are going up.
Yeah, and that's one of the things about towns like this, where it's inexpensive to live in. It's a good place for artists, and artists do flock to it. I'm worried that that's going to change in Pittsburgh a bit.
I wonder though if the suburbs of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, or mm-hmm. or the suburbs of Scottsdale, Arizona, if you have these kinds of stories, because I wonder if you need to have that grit, that 250 years of migration in and out, and pain and loss. And boom and bust is what gives you the grit to tell those stories. That
maybe
no offense to Tyson's Quarter, Virginia. I just don't know if they have that.
Well, it doesn't take a lot of years to get to pain and loss.
And these days, no, it happens more often than.
Yeah,
I believe you had another piece that you wanted to read for us.
Sure, this is from Charlie Man too. This is called Ramey.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually about my Uncle Ray's son, Ramey, who was my second cousin. Aunt Joanne didn't recognize me. Her skin soaked in booze and cured with cigarette smoke, her husband shaking in a blue suit, trying to remember me too. There was Cousin Ramey, laying in a cheap brown coffin, his face the color of French vanilla ice cream. His death was so ridiculous, no one knew how to roll it up and eat it. The thump of his head off slick ice, drunk. He woke up dead. In a collage of pictures in a viewing room, there's one of teenage Ramey lounging in a lounge chair, a can of Budweiser in his hand. He looked as happy as I ever saw anyone. The best thing about some of our lives is drinking beer in a nylon chair. Me and Ramey once broke into our great uncle's house looking for a snub-nosed pistol that was rumored stuffed in a mattress. Unc was getting his feet sawed off at the VA hospital. I was 16 and Raimi was simply older. Together because of Nanny's funeral. That might have been the last time I saw him. Raimi wanted to sell the gun. The man we called Cousin It. He loved my father and used to leave warm loaves of bread in the sun porch on random mornings, even though our house was well off his ride home from the bakery. He also giggled like a madman, one of those guys you shake your head at. Just another juicer from East Pittsburgh. A man in a flannel shirt. My cousin Raimi, who watched football at the Serbian club with a bunch of men who didn't love him, but stuffed themselves into the only suits they owned to see him lay there in a funeral home under the Westinghouse Bridge while the whole world passed by overhead.
The poem is Raimi. It's from the collection called Trolley Men, and the author is Bob Paycheck. He's our guest for a few more minutes. He woke up dead. Is that a Pittsburghism? Because it's the only place I've ever heard that is people from Pittsburgh.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe. I woke up dead one morning.
Yeah, I think that's an alcoholic thing too. Woke up dead.
You have your guitar in hand, and I feel a song coming on.
Let's try. This is called Turtle Creek in Wilmerding. Turtle Creek in Wilmerding, rustier than an old porch swing, an old porch swing in Wilmerding. Creaks and groans but never sings, oh Turtle Creek in Wilmerding, rustier than an old porch swing, an old porch swing in Wilmerding. Creaks and groans but never sings. Westinghouse took his stash and his enormous power cash, and he built the factory right down there, and that was the last time the creek ran clear. Turtle Creek in Wilmerding, rustier than an old porch swing, an old porch swing in Wilmerding. Creaks and groans but never sings. Grandmothers and crystal meth, station break served elephant. The only vegetables to eat are found in a garden off Marguerite. Oh, Turtle Creek in Wilmerding, rustier than an old porch swing, an old porch swing in Wilmerding. Creaks and groans but never sings. I knew a man who walked backwards around the mountain up Ice Plan Hill. What would make him do, you think? Of course it was for a drink. Oh, Turtle Creek in Wilmerding, rustier than an old porch swing, an old porch swing in Wilmerding. Creaks and groans but never sings. Oh, Turtle Creek in Wilmerding, rustier than an old porch swing, an old porch swing in Wilmerding. Creaks and groans but never sings.
Bob Paycheck is our guest. He is a author, poet, reporter, and songwriter.
Support for this broadcast comes from Striffler's Family Funeral Homes. Since 1866, Striffler's has provided compassionate, professional memorial services for families in White Oak, McKeesport, Dravosburg, Portview, and the surrounding areas. Striffler's offers comprehensive pre-planning services and aftercare. And through its affiliated company, Design Monuments, Striffler's also provides permanent markers and memorials crafted in stone, bronze, and other high-quality materials. Learn more at strifflers.com or call 412-678-6191.
Bob Paycheck is our guest this morning. You can find him at Bob Paycheck. Bob, what sorts of places are you playing at? Where can people see in the months ahead?
Well, not so. I just did a show.
I know the holidays are coming up, and that kind of messes everything up.
There might be some. There will definitely be some readings and performances next year. Hopefully at like Bantha Coffee Shop and Tea House in Bloomfield area.
Uh-huh.
I just did a show with my friend Scott Sealsby, who's another fantastic writer and musician, where I banged on the drums at the Poetry Lounge in Millville, which was a lot of fun. But, you know, they come and go. I wish I had more to report. But it feels like I'm just starting out, even though my body's getting old, I'm getting creaky, but it all feels pretty new so far. But I guess that's another reason why it keeps the energy going.
You said something a while ago that I think is very interesting, and I often say it to young writers, and that is about the revision process.
Oh, yeah.
That it's not the first draft. Sometimes it's the second, the third, the fourth. What is some other advice? You were turned on to poetry in college. These days, especially if you're a young person, your attention is getting pulled in so many different directions. But if someone has a niece, nephew, son, daughter, grandchild who's showing some interest in songwriting and poetry, what are some recommendations? What can they do to encourage that?
I would say it's very important to find someone who has a similar voice to you.
Okay.
And try to absorb and understand what they're doing. Find someone to read that you like, and also people that you aren't necessarily fans of, and take a hard look at what they're doing. And at first, you kind of want to imitate how it's working, but you have to get away from that pretty quick.
And find your voice.
Yeah, and try to find your voice. I think, you know, everything is being homogenized in a way that is really frightening to me. For people who don't know, most of the internet that we absorb is published through this WordPress.
Probably 90% of the websites you look at these days are WordPress. Yeah.
Well, they give you a score to get to ensure that Google picks up your stuff properly. And they want you to write in a certain way and use certain words to trick Google in order to get higher on the web pages. And I just find that completely appalling, and it's stripping all the creativity out of everything. But that's me going off.
His newest collection is called Panda Magic. It's available at White Whale. Also, the author of the collection Trolley Man, and can be found in Good Noise, Poems for Jerry, and Little Beers.
Yep.
Bob Paycheck has been our guest. Did you have one more song that you were going to feature for us?
How about a poem?
Let's close on that, yes.
This poem is called Pittsburgh Toilet. Duchamp has nothing on a hunky who installed the toilet in the middle of the basement in Munhall, and they have more in common with each other than you think. They surely both wish to be the boy in the future who watched his high school girlfriend grab two cans of watery domestic out of the old fridge that shivered when it turned on. And later found himself bare-ass and wet, together, startled. And there are some seconds long into his life he becomes frozen porcelain on a wall. The way she asked him to turn around so she could tinkle like a music box into the cold water.
I didn't schedule that train whistle to be evocative for you right now, but...
Conrail, sweet Conrail, blown through Turtle Creek. Makes my heart turn weak without me. What a sad horn on a bare wall where the great machines once stood. Grab a rock, break a window, makes you feel kind of good. Well, the money's all... Oops, well, sorry. That didn't work too good.
No.
I panicked.
No worries. Panic. No worries, Bob. Please come back and see us again
Thank you, Jason.
Sometime. And look for him at coffee shops, and look for his books at Caliban, White Whale, and other places around Pittsburgh. Bob Paycheck has been our guest.
Thank you so much. Thank you for doing this. You're the real deal, Jason.
Well, thank you. And thank you all for listening this week to Two Rivers 30 Minutes. So long for now.
You've been listening to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, copyright Tube City Community Media, Incorporated. Opinions expressed on this program are not those of Tube City Community Media, Incorporated. Listener support makes this program possible. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible contribution, please visit our website at tubecityonline.com and click on the donate link. You can also get a free subscription to this program and other podcasts at our website using Apple's iTunes or Stitcher.com. If you've got a question or comment, we hope you'll write to us. Our address is Tube City Community Media Incorporated, P.O. Box 94, McKeesport, PA, 15134. You can email us at TubeCityTiger@gmail.com or call us at area code 412-614-9659. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.